This is Ronald Coleman, inviting you to radio's most dramatic half hour, Favorite Story. Wise men say that the most beautiful things in the world can be seen out of your own back window, wherever you happen to live. But how would you like to open the shutters of your bedroom window one morning and find before you the most fantastic garden since Eden? And how would you like to see there a young lady as lovely as a storybook princess? A young lady within sound of your voice, yet as unreachable as the other side of the moon. Nathaniel Hawthorne wrote a yarn like that. It's filled with intrigue, mystery, and romance, and spiced throughout with a touch of the macabre. The screen's favorite bogeyman has named it as his choice for dramatization on this series. We mean, of course, Mr. Sidney Greenstreet. Mr. Greenstreet smiled that famous mystic smile of his and named Rappaccini's Daughter as his favorite story. It's as unusual an adventure as you'll find in anyone's library. Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to journey with us to the picturesque Italian city of Padua to meet Rappaccini's Daughter.
Signora?
Yes?
My name is Giovanni Guasconti.
Why should I care what your name is, young man?
I'm a stranger here in Padua, and I'm enrolling as a student in the College of Medicine. I need lodging, and I was told
you
that
were told wrong. Did they say I ran a boarding house for young men who cut up white mice and guinea pigs and spill smelly potions all over my rugs and tapestries?
Please, Signora.
Oh, no. I want no medical students here.
But I shall be very little trouble. I just have my books. There are no animals or medicines of any sort. If you have any place for me to stay, I shall be most grateful.
Well, I have one room.
Yes?
If you don't mind sleeping up under the eaves.
Would you show it to me, please?
Very well. Follow me. Up these stairs. Very dark.
Is there a view?
Yes, senor. There is a view. There.
It is dark. May I open the shutter?
If you like.
What's this?
It's the garden of our neighbor, Dr. Rappaccini. I told you there was a view.
From my window, I looked down into the garden. The strangest garden I have ever seen. It was surrounded by a high wall, and the gates were bolted and locked with heavy chains. But from my window, high above the wall, I could look down on a jungle of weird and exotic flowers, gigantic leaves, and blossoms that were purple and black and blood red. And yet I could see it was not a jungle, for each plant seemed to be carefully tended by some expert gardener. As a medical student, I was familiar with botany, yet there was not one plant in all that garden that I'd ever seen before.
Well?
Signora, the garden... Does it belong to the house?
Heaven forbid, senor. That garden is no property of mine. It belongs to Signor Giacomo Rappaccini, the famous doctor.
Oh.
He raises plants for medicine. And sometimes you can see him at work with his daughter, cultivating the flowers.
Would that be the doctor, pruning the shrubbery near the wall?
Yes. Yes, that's he. That is Rappaccini.
I saw the old man raking the dirt near the high walls directly beneath my window. His face was sun-baked and leathery, and his dark eyes seemed to look with affection on each flower and blossom in the garden. Yet, as he moved about, he carefully kept his distance from each plant, and on his hands, He wore a thick pair of gloves, and on his face, a mask, such as a surgeon might wear.
Beatrice!
Yes, Father?
I need your help.
Certainly, Father.
Then she walked into the garden. A girl so lovely that I held my breath in wonder.
Beatrice, this plant, it needs your care.
Yes, Father.
Then she touched the plant which her father had avoided and fondled it and held the blossoms to her cheek.
Well, how long do you intend standing there like a dumb animal? Or have you lost your tongue?
Oh, I beg your pardon, Senora...
Lisabetta. That's what they call me. Well, is this room good enough for you, Senor?
Oh, yes, yes. In fact, I've quite fallen in love with this view from your window.
Yes. I can see that you're very interested in our Dr. Rappaccini's garden.
So you are old Guasconti's son. Welcome. Welcome to Padua.
Thank you, Professor Baglioni.
And I might say I'm very proud to have you as a student.
I hope I shall be a credit to the university and to my father.
Excellent, excellent. That's the spirit which makes good physicians, Giovanni. I think you'll find the university full of professors who will try to cram as much knowledge into your head as your poor cranium can hold.
I'll do my best, Professor.
Old Guasconti's son. Tell me, young man, what studies do you aim to pursue? Is there any particular doctor with whom you wish to study?
I've looked forward to studying with you, sir.
That is easily arranged.
I've also heard of another eminent physician here in Padua, a Dr. Rappaccini.
Rappaccini?
Yes.
A very dangerous man, my boy. Have no dealings with him.
But why?
Ask no questions, Giovanni. Only take my word for it. Rappaccini is a dangerous man.
Why do you say he is dangerous?
Why must you know?
His garden is right next to my lodgings. I saw the doctor at work there this morning.
And his daughter?
Yes, I believe his daughter was with him. My housekeeper said that Rappaccini was an eminent physician.
True, true. He is eminent. But he would as soon kill you as swat a fly. An eminent scientist, yes. A learned man is Rappaccini. But a man who would sacrifice human life, even someone dear to him, for the sake of adding one solitary fact to the store of his knowledge.
What is the nature of his knowledge, Professor?
Dr. Rappaccini is the world's foremost authority on poison.
For a long time that afternoon, I sat at my window, looking down into Rappaccini's garden, studying the curious plants. For the second time, I saw Rappaccini's daughter. Her beauty was so brilliant, so vivid, that she glowed in the sunlight. She raised her head. Our eyes met. She smiled. Impulsively, I took some flowers from a vase near the windowsill. Signorina!
Yes?
Accept this gift of flowers. Wear them for the sake of Giovanni Guasconti.
Thank you, Signor. Thank you for your kindness.
Did my eyes deceive me? Or did the flowers which I tossed to her wither in her grasp? The next afternoon, I avoided my window. I kept the shutters closed and even thought of moving from these lodgings away from the exotic flowers of Dr. Rappaccini. I tried to bury myself in my books, but I was listless in my studies. Irresistibly, I was drawn toward that window. She was there, in the garden, looking up as though she'd been waiting for me.
Good afternoon, Signor Guasconti.
Good afternoon. Signorina, tell me, what is your name?
Beatrice, Signor. Beatrice Rappaccini.
Beatrice. It's like music.
And surely you can hear the chimes ringing in the name Giovanni.
Forgive me, Beatrice, if I intrude on the privacy of your garden. But your beauty draws me to this window.
Yes?
You must know all things are drawn to you. Look, even the butterfly which hovers above your head, he can't resist your charm.
You are too gracious, Signor, for the butterfly...
The brightly colored wings fluttered into the path of her laughter. And even as I watched, they quivered. And the butterfly fell dead at her feet.
Signor Giovanni! Giovanni!
Professor.
What's your hurry, my young friend? I've missed you at the university. You haven't been attending your classes very regularly.
I know. I'm sorry, Professor Baglioni. I haven't been feeling well.
You're not looking well. What's the matter, Giovanni? You know, a physician's best advertisement is his own good health.
It is nothing serious. Please, sir, I'd rather not talk about it. I'll see you soon. Goodbye,
no.
Professor.
No, come back here, Giovanni. Giovanni, you are in trouble. Even now, at this moment. Serious trouble.
How do you know?
Look, there in the crowd across the street. Do you see the man with the white hair and the leathery brown face?
Yes. Yes, I see him.
Of course you know who he is.
I see him often. He's my neighbor, Dr. Rappaccini.
See how he looks at you, watching every movement you make with those black eyes of his. I know that look of his. He's studying you. It's the same expression he has when he bends over a butterfly and tears off its wings, or when he takes a razor to dissect a caterpillar alive.
He's gone.
He may disappear for a time in the crowd, yes. But you will see him again and again, Giovanni. His face will appear to you in strange places, my son. And always with that same cold, analytical look in his eyes. I know this Rappaccini.
But why should Dr. Rappaccini be interested in me?
Why? I do not know why. There is no logic in it, no reason. But Giovanni, as surely as we are standing here together in the streets of Padua, he is using you.
Using me?
Yes. Rappaccini is conducting another of his hideous experiments. And you, my son, are his subject.
We're ready now for the second half of Sidney Greenstreet's favorite story, Rappaccini's Daughter. Strange things have happened since the young medical student first looked into the fantastic garden of Dr. Rappaccini, and especially since he saw the most unusual flower of all, Rappaccini's daughter. Here's Act Two.
It's about time a young man returned to his lodgings.
I've been wandering about the streets. It's a warm evening.
I wonder what it is you do with your time when you're not staring out of the window into our neighbor's garden.
I have my work at the university.
I wonder, is that what makes you look so pale?
For the love of heaven, Signora, are my affairs any of your business?
Yes, they are. Hours I've been waiting to deliver a message to you.
From whom?
That I cannot say.
Then what is the message?
It is not exactly a message in so many words.
What is this, Signora? A game you're playing with me?
You might be more courteous to old Lisabetta if you knew she could show you a private entrance to the garden.
To what garden?
What garden, indeed?
Where is it? Where is this entrance?
Ah, not so fast. There are many young men in Padua who would give gold get a closer view of Dr. Rappaccini's flower.
Here is a gold piece, Lisabetta. Show me the way. Through the moonlight, old Lisabetta led me back along the wall of Rappaccini's garden. She pushed aside a thick screen of shrubbery, and there I saw a small wooden door. I tried the latch. It's unlocked.
Of course it is unlocked.
Had I known what lay ahead of me, I never would have stooped to go through that low doorway into Dr. Rappaccini's garden. But I did not know. The light breeze through the doorway carried with it the aroma of the garden. It seemed to beckon to me. And then I found myself standing on the very spot I'd gazed on for so long. In the bright moonlight, Dr. Rappaccini's flowers had an even more unearthly look. Their leaves glistened in the soft light, and the blossoms, black and purple and blood red by daylight, now appeared in colors indescribable. I breathed into my lungs the pungent perfume. I hardly dared to move, lest I should be discovered trespassing in my neighbor's garden.
Signor Guasconti.
Beatrice.
Why do you stand there like a frightened statue?
I couldn't stay away any longer. Forgive me for coming here uninvited.
Were you not invited?
Beatrice.
What kept you, Giovanni? I've been waiting for you here. I'm so happy that you came.
I can't believe that we're actually as close as this. I've lain awake nights imagining how you'd look at this distance. The texture of your skin, the strands of your hair.
Do I disappoint you?
No. No, my Beatrice. You do not disappoint me.
Tell me, what is it like outside the garden?
Have you never been outside?
Only in my father's carriage, and then with the curtains drawn.
Why is he so strict with you?
There is no other way.
Your help?
Yes, my help. But tell me, are there wonderful things to do outside in the world?
Yes, my Beatrice. Wonderful things. There are mountains, snow-topped, even in summer, from which you can see the orchards and the vineyards and the rivers for hundreds of miles around. And there's the broad sweep of the ocean, the fresh breeze off its white caps, the taste of the salt on your lips. There are a million wonders outside your garden, Beatrice.
I would love to see them.
I can show them to you. With words, we can dream ourselves around the world. Here, in each other's arms.
No! Get away from me! Don't touch me! Don't touch me! If you love me, Giovanni, you must never touch me.
I hurried out of the garden, fearing that I might be discovered there by Beatrice's father. But as I prepared to retire in my little room under the eaves, I looked out of my window, down into the moon-filled garden. Beatrice was no longer there. In her place, I saw Dr. Rappaccini, his face upturned, his dark eyes staring intently at my window. He was smiling. You wanted to see me, Professor Baglioni?
Yes. My son, what's happened to you?
Nothing.
Giovanni, you came here to Padua, one of our most promising students. Now you are listless, a failure in your studies.
I can give no explanation.
I can. How long has it been since you've seen Rappaccini's daughter?
Today. I saw her today.
And yesterday?
Yes, and the day before, and the day before that.
When did this begin?
Weeks ago, months. How can you measure time?
I warned you, my
What
son.
Business is it of yours if I visit Rappaccini's daughter?
Giovanni, listen to me. Have you ever read the story of the Indian princess who was sent to the court of Alexander the Great? Her beauty made Alexander fall in love with her, completely, utterly. But a wise physician discovered a terrible secret about the princess.
I don't want to hear your story.
She had been nourished with poisons from the day of her birth. Poison had become so much of a part of her that merely her nearness could be fatal.
It's impossible.
Is it? Giovanni. I was your father's friend. I am your friend. Believe me, my son. Rappaccini, the poisoner, has worked just such an experiment on his own daughter.
No.
And now he is experimenting on you. I beg you, my son. Stay away from that evil god.
I can't. I'm in love with Beatrice. I'm in love with Rappaccini's daughter.
Oh, my son. Do you not know where this will lead?
Yes. I shall die. Is that such a tragedy? Is it a terrible thing to die for love?
If you are fortunate, you will die. But something else may happen. Something which will please our friend Rappaccini.
And that is?
Giovanni, tell me. What is the peculiar fragrance I notice about you?
Fragrance?
Is it the perfume of your gloves?
I wear no perfume.
A pungent odor. An odor like that of exotic flowers. I think I should be ill if I breathed it for long.
There are no flowers here. Perhaps it might be a drug of some sort. A drug distilled by a talented man, like Rappaccini.
It's your imagination. There is no odor here. There is no fragrance, no poison, no drug.
There is a spider on the windowsill. Go look at it, Giovanni.
Very well.
Look closer. Closer still. Breathe on it, my son.
Dead.
You killed it. Your breath killed the spider.
Then I have been poisoned, too.
I told you he was experimenting on you. Rappaccini is trying to destroy you as he has destroyed his own daughter. He is exposing you to the same contagion so that you will be like her.
Cut off from the world.
It will be worse than death. Perhaps you can still save yourself. Escape. Leave your love behind you. Forget her. We may somehow be able to make you well again.
Is there an antidote?
I think I know enough of Dr. Rappaccini's methods to formulate an antidote. I may be able to counteract the poison in your body, my son, if you never come near to Rappaccini or his daughter again.
The terror, the sheer terror of being a thing apart, isolated from the rest of humanity. This made me forget my love, my Beatrice. I followed the professor's advice. I drank the medicines which he prescribed. I was racked with fever. For days, weeks, I know not how long, I lingered on the border of consciousness while the antidote fought with the poison within me. And finally, exhausted but victorious, I arose from my hospital bed. The poison had been purged from my body. Once again, I was like other men. But as the sun shone again in my life, I could not help thinking of Beatrice. My Beatrice. I must save her. I must rescue her as I have been rescued from the experimenting of her evil father. From the hospital, I went directly to my old lodgings. I pushed aside the screen of shrubbery which concealed the familiar door. I opened it. The pungent perfume of the garden reached me, sickening sweet. The unhealthful odor made me hesitate, but I was determined to rescue Beatrice from this diseased air.
Giovanni!
My darling.
Where have you been all these days and nights? I've missed you desperately. Are you all right?
I'm well again, my Beatrice. I have escaped the fate which your father had planned for me. And you can escape, too.
Escape?
Darling, listen to me. We're going to leave this place.
I will never be able to leave
you. You can. There's a way. Beatrice, I know everything, the whole secret, what your father has done to you. He tried to infect me with the same poison.
But you're well now.
You can be well, too. Here, in this little vial, is a medicine which will counteract all the poisons you've lived with so long. Take it, Beatrice, and we'll be free. Free to love as the rest of the world loves.
Is it healthful medicine?
Distilled from everything that is pure and healthful and good. Drink it, my darling.
Give me the vial.
It works quickly. There may be after effects. You may be ill. You may have to rest for a long time, but this will break your father's enchantment.
And then?
Then we'll travel around the world 5 times. We'll go to those snow-peaked mountains and look down on those hundreds of miles of villages and vineyards. We'll taste that salt sea spray on each other's lips. We'll laugh and we'll love and we'll say, hello, world.
It sounds beautiful, Giovanni.
Do you feel the medicine working?
I feel it all through my body.
It's driving out the poison. I can put my arm around you.
Be careful.
It's all right. It's safe now. For the first time, I can kiss your eyelids and your cheek and your lips.
Giovanni, I am happier than I ever dreamed I could.
Beatrice, be strong, my darling. It will be all right.
No, my darling.
What's wrong?
I cannot.
The potion is an antidote. It will kill the poisons in you.
I am poison. That which is the opposite of poison for another means death for me.
No, my darling.
I filled with poison too long. I cannot go back.
Beatrice!
Goodbye.
I'm a murderer. I destroyed you.
No, Giovanni. You have kissed me. And I have lived a lifetime.
There you have the sad but beautiful chronicle of Rappaccini's daughter, Nathaniel Hawthorne's strange story of the child of poison. Our thanks to the members of the cast, particularly Janet Waldo, who played Beatrice, and Howard Duff, who played Giovanni. Lawrence and Lee dramatize and direct the stories on this series. And, oh yes, we'd like to thank our good friend Sidney Greenstreet, who chose Rappaccini's daughter as this week's favorite story. Next week, our radio impression of a great American classic, Herman Melville's Saga of Hatred and Revenge, Moby Dick. It's the favorite story choice of the eminent American actor and playwright, co-author of Life with Father and State of the Union, Mr. Howard Lindsay. We hope you'll be listening.